Welcome to Life Church Birmingham. We are glad you have listened today. We know God has a plan and purpose for your life and want to help you be successful in Jesus Christ. We know you will receive a message of hope and encouragement.
As you turn to Romans chapter 8, one quick reminder, tonight we have a special service that we'll be attending at another church together, a community worship service at Garywood Assembly of God. Doctor from Tanzania, Dr. Barnabas, Dr. Barnabas will be with us. Those of you who were here at the beginning of the year, you know that we set aside an entire week of tithe and offering to give. And tonight we'll be presenting a $10,000 check to him for to help build a facility in Tanzania to train church planters and pastors. They're planting, last year, Tanzania and Assemblies of God had planted, I think, over 1,200 churches. And so they have regional training sites where they bring in pastors. We're going to help partner with them. And tonight will be a collective group of other churches. If you want to carpool, ride together, follow me, ride in the back seat, I'll drive the van, whatever. We'll meet here at 5 o'clock, but the service isn't here. It's across town. And you have these little flyers here that help remind you. So we want to be part of that. It's going to be an amazing time. Really, Dr. Barnabas is, he's a global leader. He's not common. He's an uncommon leader. And so I want you to be around him. I want you to hear him. I want you to catch his spirit. I want you to see what God's doing on the other side of the world. It will encourage you to face your giants over here, and so it'll be an awesome time together. Tonight, we'll meet here at 5 if you want to carpool, but the service starts at 6. Where's the service? Garywood. Not here, right? Not here. Okay. All right, there we go. Enough for announcements. All right, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, if you can understand this chapter, you understand the gospel. If you can understand Romans 8, you understand the gospel message. This is not a story. It is chock full, line by line, phrase by phrase, word by word, that is pregnant with implications. And here's our challenge today. And you can decide how we do at the end. But the challenge today is to cover verses 5 through 13. And I don't know if I've studied as much as I have this week in a long time, because there's a lot here, and I didn't want to ramble on, but I want to give it to you in a way that are bite-sized chunks that you could take with you, like to work tomorrow, to school tomorrow, right? And so here we go, Romans 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead is living in you, the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Let me back up. I think I messed that one up. Back up a second. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. It is not to the flesh to live according to it, For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. That's a mouthful. That's a lot. What does that mean for us? How do we take these words and have it work in our life? I want you to know something. The only sin we can defeat is a forgiven sin. The only sin we can defeat in daily life and replace it with righteousness is forgiven sin. I know there are a lot of natural ways to overcome bad habits that aren't based on Christ, but when those things bring change in our life without forgiveness, the result is not God's righteousness, the result is self-righteousness. The only sin that can be forgiven, the only sin that can be defeated in our daily life is forgiven sin. I got three main takeaways. We'll divide the verses into chunks. Three main takeaways. Takeaway number one, because of Jesus, I have a new mindset. Everybody say new. I have a new mindset. The first few verses tell us if we live according to the flesh, our minds are set on what the flesh desires, but according to the Spirit, on what the Spirit desires. Paul describes two kinds of people. Two kinds of people. Those who live according to the flesh. That's a funny word. We'll talk about that in a minute. And those who live according to the Spirit. Capital S. Those who live according to the flesh, they have their mind set on what flesh desires, right? Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds. How do you know? How do you know? Because you set your mind on what the Spirit desires. Those who live, there's a contrast. Flesh, Spirit. Those who live this way and those who live this way. This is super important. Paul is not describing two kinds of Christians. He's not describing two kinds of Christians. He's not describing a Christian where, they're not the kind of Christian that they just don't really look like Jesus. They don't act like Jesus. They don't think like Jesus. But, you know, they're Christian, and they kind of live according to flesh. It's not what he's saying. And he's not saying, hey, there's a kind of Christian over here. You know, they're the kind of super spiritual ones. They try to please Jesus and act like Jesus and talk like Jesus. He's not doing that. He's not saying there's two kind of Christians. He's saying there are two kind of people, saved and unsaved. Those who have surrendered and those who remain enemies of God. Those who have surrendered to Christ, and they contrast four ways that this happens. The first way is flesh versus Spirit. The unsaved person does not have the Spirit of Christ. They don't have the Spirit of God. They live in the flesh, for the flesh. Their minds focus on how can I please my flesh, right? How does that happen? How can I do that? But the Christian, in contrast, has the Spirit of God within them. And it's a totally different realm. It's a different way of thinking. That person, the believers, their mind is fixed. It's set. It's locked into the things of God, the things of the Spirit. It doesn't mean that an unsaved person does never do any good. And it doesn't mean that a saved person never does anything bad. What it means is their bent, their goal of their life is different. It's a different trajectory. It's a different goal in mind. One for the flesh, one for the Spirit. I want to do what I want to do. I'm in it for me. I'm going to collect all I can get because I'm going to get what's mine. I'm here to please Christ. Whatever He wants. Whatever He desires for my life. I live for Him and Him alone. And then the second contrast is death versus life. Verse 6 says, the mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life, right? It's peace. An unsaved person is alive physically, but spiritually they're dead. The inner person, the inner man is dead towards the things of God. They don't respond to the Spirit. There's not sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. There's no desire to conform to the likeness of Christ. That person may be a good person. They may be a moral person. And even, hold on to your seats, a religious person. But they lack life. They lack spiritual life. What they need is the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. A third contrast is this: war with God, peace with God. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile. Hostile towards God. They don't submit to God's law, nor can they. So the old nature rebels, right? Against God, there's no submission. Those who trust Christ enjoy, listen, peace with God. There it is. There's peace with God. The contrast to that is the unsaved person is at war. Now, I know that is not a way to sell a book or to pack a building or to highlight a conference. But the contrast is there. And Paul is not a universalist. He is not politically correct. He's sharing the truth of the gospel. And so the old nature rebels. Those who have trusted Christ enjoy peace. Man, there's peace with God. There's peace with God. Man, there's peace. Oh, my goodness. I have learned to value more and more and more peace. Come on. I've learned to value that. I'm thankful for that. Listen, I may have problems, and you may have a lot of problems, but if you have Christ, ultimately, you're fine, man. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. You win in the end. You have victory awaiting for you, right? Romans 5 helps us. Verse 1 says this: therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How does peace happen? Because we are justified by faith through Christ. Justified. Working definition: just as if you've never sinned. Man, it don't get better than that. Just as if you've been justified. How? Through faith. You believed Jesus is the Son of God, resurrected, surrender. What his work, the work he did on the cross, right? On the cross is applied to our life. Now the Father looks at us and we are covered in righteousness. Isaiah 48:22 says this: there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. There's no peace there. So war with God, peace with God. The fourth contrast: pleasing self versus pleasing God. Those who are in the realm of the flesh can't please the Lord. Now that's a startling statement. You can't please the Lord if you're what Paul would say, in the flesh. You can't please the Lord. Why? You're telling me that I can't do anything ultimately to have favor with God without Christ? Yes. That's how big the gap is. And so when Christ comes on the scene and he bridges the gap, you go, wow. I am in awe. I'm in awe. To be in the flesh, it means to be lost, right? So that's growing up, I'd hear that term. around church people as a kid. They're in the flesh. If you hear it and you're not used to it, it sounds kind of funny. Like, aren't we all kind of in the flesh? I mean, I think so. I mean, I'm not, y'all can see me, right? Like, I'm here. It's a funny word if you're not. What it means is you're lost. You're leaning on your own strength. But you don't have to stay at that level. You don't have to stay there. By faith, you can move up. I remember several years ago, we had the opportunity to go to California for a big conference. The church that sent us there every couple years, all the ministers and missionaries of our fellowship get together. It was in Anaheim, California. It's a long way to walk. And so we got there. We didn't walk. We were on an airplane. And we had an afternoon off, so we just got in a rental and just drove south. I figured when we hit Mexico, we'd turn around. I mean, if we got that far, right? And so we got on Pacific Coast Highway and just drove south. Man, it's like, I see why people want to move to California. It's stunning. We're following the coast, and it's rocky cliffs, and it's kind of uninhabited. All of a sudden, the town opens up, and you're going, 3 million, 5 million, 4 million, 2 million. Like, you see these houses on stilts, and you're just in this ocean, and it's crashing. And so we stopped and grabbed some lunch, and we were walking around. I don't know why we went shopping for artwork. Like, we didn't buy any. We weren't planning on buying any, but we just thought it was, I don't know, all these eclectic shops. And so there's an old guy on the corner. You know, old is someone older than you. That's what that means, by the way. You know, so I understand that term is relevant. Remember when you thought when you turned 40 that you would, you know, just kind of be hanging up, you're old? 40's young, man. So this old guy, again, older than me, is on the corner and he's handing out flyers. And so he handed me one and I kept walking and it says, how to live forever. I'm like, oh, okay, that sounds pretty interesting. So we went and got lunch and looked at, you know, $4,000 paintings that we didn't buy and sculptures that, you know, were just kind of interesting. And we're walking back and I'm like, we had a few minutes. So I said, hey, man, hey, what's the deal? He said, well, my daughter lives here. I'm from northern Indiana and I'm out here visiting. And I thought, man, there's a bunch of lost people out here. So I'm just going to make me up a gospel track and see if I can talk to some people and lead them to Christ. I mean, there's Bentleys driving by, Lambos, Ferraris. You know, when your house is worth $4 million, what's a $150,000 car, right? Like, oh, no big deal. And he sees the opportunity to glorify God. So he's got this gospel track, and honestly, I kind of wanted to help him and say, you know, it could probably look a little better than that, and put some color on it or whatever. And that thought goes through my mind. And I said, well, how's it going? He said, I led 4 people to Christ today. I figured that's a win. There's a warning. Not all people are saved. Not everybody's saved. You're in the flesh or you're in the spirit. You can't be kind of saved. If you're out, that means you're not in. My hope today is that you would sense the conviction of the Holy Spirit. If that's you, you would stop fighting against God and let Him help you. That you would surrender to God today. On the other pendulum swing, if you're here and you're a follower of Christ, we need to know that God expects something of us. We've been marked. You know that you've been marked in the spirit realm. You've been marked. You've been branded. You've been marked with a seal. The signet ring of God has been stamped on your life. Ephesians 1 tells us this. And here's what it says. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal. You know what that means? It's like the signet ring of the king. They would take wax and seal something closed or seal. It was like their signature, right? You've been marked with God's seal. What's the seal? The promised Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is a seal from God, a marking. The Holy Spirit is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. You've been marked. The Holy Spirit, God's marked you with His Spirit in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Surely you know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you. Do you know that? That should bring you great joy. That His Spirit lives in you. In the spirit realm, listen, this might sound weird to some of you, but if we could see in the spirit realm where the Spirit of Christ is, the Holy Spirit, same thing, where that Spirit goes, it dissipates darkness. If we could see in the spirit realm, you'd see darkness scatter, like literally, because the Spirit is alive in you. In 1 Kings 8, 10 through 13 says this about the temple in the Old Testament. When the priest withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord. And the priests could not perform their services because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And Solomon said, the Lord has said that He would dwell in a dark cloud. I have indeed built a magnificent temple for you, a place for you to dwell forever. Do you know that if you are in the Spirit, if the Spirit is in you, God's presence dwells in you. You're a carrier of the presence. You're a New Testament temple. You've been marked. You've been sealed. Because of Jesus, I have a new mindset. The second thing is this. Because of Jesus, I have a new sense of life. New mindset. There's a new sense of life. Verse 9, you, however, are not. Throw it up there, verse 9, please. You're not in the realm of the flesh. You're in the realm of the Spirit. If, everybody say if, it's a big if, right? If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, right? If it's living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. So you, turn to your neighbor and say you. Who is the audience? He's not talking to everyone here. He's talking to a specific you. It's you plural. He probably should say in the Greek, y'all. Or if he's from Boston, you guys. Or yous guys, I don't know. Who's he talking to? The Roman church. In this case, a believer. Brothers and sisters. So this you right here are followers of Christ Jesus. Followers of Christ are not in the realm of the flesh. They're in the realm of the Spirit. How do you know? If, the big if the Spirit of Christ lives in you, the Spirit of God lives in you. Because if you don't have that, Him, His Spirit living in you, abiding in you, dwelling in you, with you, you don't belong to Him. We said it once last week and already once today. Paul is not a universalist. If you look at Acts 20, 31, we won't look there, but he says, for 3 years, I warned you with tears to turn. I guess that's why he would go to a town and they'd run him out and try to kill him and he'd go back again. He didn't care. Like, he really didn't care. He was like, I'm going back in. They kill me. I'm going to be with Jesus anyways. They lock me up. I'll write some letters. I don't know. That was sort of a joke. Because he did. What else are you going to do? Some are saved and some are lost. That's what he's saying. Some are born again. Hallelujah to Jesus. And some are dead in their sin. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ. Something happens when you get saved. Something glorious and beautiful. The Spirit of Christ, if you read the Bible and you go, I keep seeing all these spirits, Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, Spirit of the Holy Spirit, same thing, same thing. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. There's not a like another spirit or something. It's the Spirit of God. Jesus came in the flesh. He said, it's good that I go away because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's a lot like me. He's the same, kind of same, but different. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So if you're saved, Christ Jesus lives in you. How does that work? By a spirit. Now that's a supernatural, invisible miracle that manifests itself with visible work. So it's a supernatural, invisible miracle. You don't see it with a natural eye, but it works itself out into change. Change happens. So if you're saved, His Spirit lives in you, inside of you. Following Jesus is a supernatural way to live. You fight spiritual battles. You are ordered to participate in supernatural endeavors. You're commanded to do things that are humanly impossible. Yeah, like go to the world and make disciples. All of them. All the people groups. How are you going to do that on your own strength? Oh, when you encounter some demons, drive them out. And when you find some sick people, pray for them and let Christ heal them. You know, raise the dead. Stuff like that. Heal leprosy. How does that? That's utterly insane. If you're in the flesh, it is utterly exhilarating. If you're in the spirit, utterly impossible without the spirit. But with God, all things are possible. You're commanded. This is only possible through the power of the Holy Spirit in you. That's the deal. All right. There's two implications of that. And two emphasis of that. The first emphasis is, in order to belong to Jesus Christ, to be a follower of Christ, to be considered His, you have to have His Spirit. The implication is, if you don't have God's Spirit, you're not His. That's the difference. That's the distinguishing mark, right? According to Ephesians 1, that's the distinguishing mark. You don't become His, listen, any other way. There's not an alternate route. You know, like on Waze, if you get, it's a wreck, it gives you an alternate route. And even if you don't want to go that way, it still yells at you till you go that way, right? When you surrender to Him, He gives you His Spirit. There's no one else. There's like no other way. That's the way. Acts 4:12 says this. Salvation is found in who? No one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. So if somebody tells you they found another way. Jesus is really awesome for you, and I'm glad you found Him. But I found another way, you know, because we're all going to the same place. We're all kind of trying to get there. You'll know right away that's not biblical. That's not the Spirit of God. That's the flesh. That's the world talking. So the second emphasis and implication is this. Man, can you believe this? This is utterly, absolutely amazing. The Spirit of God lives in me. Can you believe it? Can you, a guy like me, a girl like me, a person like me that has my background and did what I did? How in the world could that happen? I am stunned. I'm in awe. Man, can you believe that? That a sinner like me, that God lives. Oh my goodness. That's the other emphasis. But if Christ is in you, you're still going to physically die. You're subject to death. Paul says, because of sin. We're reminded of that. The reason Adam and Eve died is because they sinned. They would be alive had they not. Something shifted when sin entered the world. Now, because of sin, we experience death. It's not to say that death is directly caused from a specific sin, although it can be. It is to say that indirectly, because of the curse of sin, we all die. That's a reality, but it doesn't stop there. It continues. So he says, everyone will die. You need to know that. And we were deeply grieved this week at the loss of our brother, Steve Mathis. Doesn't make sense to me. Right? If you were to die today, would you die with regrets? James 4:14 says, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. What's your life? You are a mist, a vapor, a puff of smoke that appears for a while then vanishes. I'm not trying to depress anybody, but in 3 generations, unless you've done something to make the history books, no one will know you were around. Well, Pastor, thanks a lot for the encouragement. I'll go go down the bar and drink myself to a stupor this afternoon. Everybody dies. But if, there's the big if, the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, if you have that, right? He who raised Christ from the dead will also, you too, also give your mortal bodies, because of His Spirit, He'll give you life. So, yes, you'll die. But if you have the Spirit of Christ, you're going to live forever, man. How? Resurrection power. It's not a figure of speech. We have a promise, a powerful, life-changing promise. Right there in front of us is the promise. Sin will kill your body, but you will receive a new body, an eternal body, a forever body. Philippians 3, our citizenship is in heaven. and we eagerly await a Savior from that viewpoint, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under control, his control, will transform your lowly bodies, not your heavenly, your lowly bodies, so that they will be like his glorious body. Born again, yeah, spiritually, but I'm going to be born again physically. I'm going to live in heaven with Christ forever because of the resurrection power. He's defeated death. Where's the sting of death? There's no sting anymore. Next week we'll celebrate water baptism. So water baptism is at least three things. It's a public profession of a private confession. It's a public profession of a private confession. Two, it is symbolic of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it is symbolic that we follow Christ in that, and we die to our old self. We are resurrected to our new self in Christ. We die to our old, resurrected to new. It is a picture, a reminder of the promise that we too will be raised to life, receive new bodies, forever bodies. So I want you to picture the Olympic Games. A lot of you don't know this, but I got a gold medal in the Olympics. Well, actually, I've got a bunch of them. I ran the 100 meter, the mile, the 6 mile, and the javelin. I was gold medal in all of them, but just kidding. I got a ribbon from swim team when I was 8. My mom sent it to me in a box. Timmy Mills made it a whole lap. Here's a ribbon. Now go get your little Speedo on. Horrible, horrible. So, water baptism is kind of like this. Here's the metaphor. Here, why do people go nuts at water baptism? Why is there hooping and hollering? It is like an athlete who trains and trains and trains and trains and trains. And she is working and sacrificing, and going to bed early and getting up early and calculating every nutrition and da, 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 da. And the race begins and she wins. Then she works up to the podium. And the crowd that day is filled. That day it's filled all the people who've ever received a medal in the Olympics. That's who's in the crowd that day. Nobody else is there. Olympian, gold medal Olympians are in the crowd that day. And she gets her gold medal, right? And she is grateful and thankful. And all the emotion. Here comes Tokyo, right? Tokyo 24. I love the Olympics, man. I love it, right? Some UPS worker from Iowa's there, right? And then some, right? There, all these people, like, and all these sports, and here they are, and they win. And so there's a crowd that day, and they all have medals. They all know the sacrifice. They all know what it took, and they all know the benefits. And that day, she receives her gold medal. The anthem's played. She takes her medal. She turns to the crowd and waves, and they go crazy. They go crazy. Why? Because they understand. They understand what it took to get there. They understand what it took to get there. And in baptism, the reason we go nuts is because we understand the sacrifice of Christ and what it took for us to be transformed. Are you kidding me? A guy like me, and maybe I'm not what I'm gonna be, but at least I'm not what I used to be. You don't even know what I used to be like. A guy like me, God, with God, anything's possible. And the place goes nuts because there are others who've experienced the same thing. In contrast to the physical body receiving death, a grave-defying risen Christ will give life to your mortal bodies. He lives in you through his Spirit. Worship team, come on. There's the promise. in front of us right there. There's the reward. It's not just work, work, work. It's reward. It's surrender. You'll be rewarded because of what Christ Jesus has done. His mark is on you. And here's where we land. Because of Christ, I have a new obligation. Romans 8, 12 and 13. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. It's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you die. Like, you die. But if by the Spirit you put the misdeeds of the flesh, of the body, to death, you'll live. For if you live according to the flesh, you die. But if by the Spirit you put the deeds, or put to death the misdeeds of the body, you'll live. So therefore, because of this powerful reality, he calls them brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters have an obligation. The Greek word there means debt, debtor. It's you owe something. There's a debt involved. Brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. There's a debt. We owe somebody something. We have a responsibility. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Don't you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, right? Who is in you? Whom you have received from God. You're not your own. You're not your own. We're not our own. And it is absolutely liberating to be His. It's liberating. You're bought with a price, man. It took a lot to be able to hang that gold medal around your neck. It took a lot of work. Christ did the unbelievable to make that happen. The magnificent, the astounding work. Therefore, honor God. There it is. So our obligation, our debt, is to God. Christ paid the debt for us. So now our obligation is to honor God because of that debt. To honor God in Corinthians, he says, with your bodies. Our obligation is not to the flesh. And somebody needs to hear that. Listen to me. You don't owe your flesh anything. Quit thinking you owe your flesh something. You don't owe your flesh anything. We're not talking about not taking care of yourself. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about living in a wise way to take care of ourselves physically, mentally, emotionally, like sleeping and eating right. And we're not talking about that. We're talking about we don't owe our flesh anything. Because if you live that way, what will happen in the end is it brings death. Like forever, death and hell forever. But if you live according to the Spirit, two things happen. You put to death the misdeeds of the body, and you live forever. How do I put to death the misdeeds of the body? You trust Christ. It is by faith, your trust in Him, in Christ Jesus, that you lay down your agenda and you say those words that for some reason are hard at times. I'm sorry. I've sinned. I don't know why it's so hard for us to say that. I've sinned. And I believe that you are the risen Son of God. He's resurrected. He's alive. So our obligation is to Him. You have to kill the misdeeds of the body. Listen. Some of you on the struggle bus, listen. It is by His Spirit that you do that. Surrendering them to Christ. And He kills them for you. He kills them for you. You kill them by subjecting them to the person and work of the Holy Spirit. You do the surrender, and He does the killing. You see? You do the surrender, and He does the killing. Freedom to live like Jesus. The only sin we can defeat is a forgiven sin. That's it. And I just realized I've been like at a 9 for about 35 minutes. Maybe a 10, I don't know. There are natural ways to overcome things, but if they're not based on Christ, there's no forgiveness, and ultimately there's no victory. The victory comes from surrendering to Him. So there we are. Because of Jesus, I have a new mindset, right? Because of Jesus, I have a new sense of life. Because of Jesus, I have a new obligation, and it is a joyful, liberating obligation. It is joyful. I am glad to be tied to Jesus. I am glad to be His servant. It is a joyful servanthood. And the more I surrender, the more I'm blessed, and the more I serve Him, the richer He is, and the more powerful He is in my life, and the more peace and the more joy. Friend, surrender it all to Him today. Let Him have it all. I can't figure it out. I don't know how that. Just give it to Him. Surrender to Him. God, I can't do this on my own. I can't do this on my own. I can't do this on my own. I'm yours. You bow your head and close your eyes. Believer, I want you to think about this for a moment, and I want you to rejoice in this. You have light inside of you. You are in Christ. You have the Spirit of God. How do I know? What's the difference? I'm marked. The King has taken His ring and He has put His seal, a deposit. There's a later inheritance. The gift of the Holy Spirit has been given. The Holy Spirit as in at salvation, receiving His Spirit. Rejoice. Demons are subject to His name, but rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is a joyful, joyful thing. Rehearse that. Rejoice in that. And today, if you are not in the Spirit, if you're in the flesh, you're dead in your sins, you're lost, you don't have Christ, you're in trouble. Today you can receive Him by faith. By faith, receive Him. Maybe you're a believer and you're on the struggle bus today. Man, I feel so defeated. I feel so defeated. Get back up. Rejoice in the grace and the mercy of God. and surrender again. Surrender again. Give it back to him. Come on. Give it back to him. The worship team's going to sing in just a moment. We're going to respond. If today you need Christ as Savior and Lord, ask him. Ask him. Say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. I confess, Jesus, that you are the Son of God and you have risen from the dead. I invite you to be Lord and Savior. I surrender. It's a simple acknowledgement and a surrendering of your life. That can be yours today. That can be yours today. If you're a believer, you're on the struggle bus, maybe you feel so defeated, know this: whatever you feed will grow, whatever you starve will die. Though a righteous man falls 7 times, he gets back up. Let your bent and your trajectory be towards him. Fall forward and surrender. Say, God, this is yours. So, Father, here we are today. And God, we're here in your house. Presence is here, and we say thank you. And everybody across the room, as I pray, just go ahead and stand your feet. God, we thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We're in awe of you. We're in wonder of you. And we say thank you, Jesus, for your power. Now, Lord, as we respond to your word, this word is for everyone in the room. As you respond to the word today, what is it the Holy Spirit is saying to you? What is he emphasizing to you today? Let's spend a few moments. Let's respond to that. Our prayer team's coming. If you would like to receive prayer, they're there to pray for you. If you just want to come and wait on the presence of the Lord, acknowledge him, ask for strength, just worship, just take a step out of your seat. These altars are open. It's a place to receive healing. It's a place to receive love. It's a place to encounter him. It's a place to lay it down, whatever it is. Some of you feel beat up this morning. Come on and just lay it down. Some of you just feel like the enemy is, he just took you outside and whipped you and you feel that way. Listen, you're more than victorious in Christ. You're more than a conqueror. Come on, you have overcoming power. Come on, not by your own strength, but because of his. Rejoice in him. Surrender to him. They're going to sing as they sing. These altars are open. Would you come and just receive whatever it is that you're in need of? If you're sick in body, come. If you're sick in spirit, come. If you just need encouragement, come. If you just want to surrender and lay some things down, come. If you want to just sit in the presence of the Lord, this is open. Come on, let's sing this together.
We want to thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to stop by and see us. Our services start at 10 a.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights, with various small groups throughout the week. Here at Life Church, we hope you have a great week.